You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We should be fair to the Zach Edey discussion. It's not like everyone's out there saying that this is a bust in the making or someone with zero pro prospects. Jeremy, you were telling me that some people are higher on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's polarizing. I was just looking at a few different mock drafts. The Ringer has him going at 12, right? But then Bleacher Report has him at 30th to the Boston Celtics, which is perfect. And then on CBS, you have, in their mock drafts, they have two different analysts doing it. One has him in the lottery at 13. The other doesn't have him in the first round at all. So the reality is it'll need to be the right team, the right fit, a team that already has a starting center that you can take some time to project Edey as a prospect and get him into the type of NBA shape we were just talking about, leaner, quicker, allow him to grow. You know, one of these drafts had him going to Oklahoma City, where you already have this really good young core and it could give him time to grow as a player. But the skills operating offensively are obviously there. It's just that's what makes him polarizing is, can that translate as a guy who mostly just plays back to the basket to the NBA at this point?
But everybody in the NBA can get buckets, right? It's what you can do defensively. If they can just ice you off the court because they'll just put a shooting center on you and you can't play on the perimeter,
not everybody
you're
in the
cooked.
NBA can get buckets, man.
Mike, everybody. I guarantee you,
we're getting
everybody
to that point.
On the floor can
you can't
get
have a weakness in the NBA. It's almost getting to that point. If you can't, that's Duncan Robinson, right? He took a whole year off to learn how to play more so he couldn't be a weakness at certain parts of the game. But with the big guys, you know, especially with somebody like Zach Edey, and I know he's polarizing, but I don't think any of those people think he's going to be a franchise center, right? So you just look at him as a potential rotation person. I don't really think you even think of him as a starting center for 10 years in your league. I think if you can convince yourself that he can be a rotation player and then he comes in and surprises you, that's the best case scenario.
Couple DMPs. Like on the high end of things, he could be like maybe a poor man's Enes Kanter. A situational player that you put in there, you're certainly, if a team's going to try to blitz you and catch you on switches and operate from the perimeter, and you realize, okay, this is not the right counter punch, what is the situation where Zach Edey can flourish at the next level?
It has to be the right coach, and somebody has to be inventive. You have to be able to utilize something that only 40 years ago we thought was the most important characteristic of a basketball player was simply height. We would draft you if you're 7'6", regardless. And it's so funny to me that the best example, and this is, you know, I wrote a story on the Thompson Twins a couple years ago, so I follow them a lot, watching them on two different teams and watching a coach use them entirely differently. And it's so obvious how one is using that player's skill set the right way and one is not. And the one who was not was Monty Williams in Detroit and Asar Thompson just sitting in the corner all day long on offense, just kind of staring at the ceiling. And Amen Thompson, all you got to do is move him in closer to the dunker spot. Changes the entire game. And so when you talk about somebody like Zach Edey, if you bring him in with somebody who has convinced themselves that, hey, it's not part of today's game, he's not going to work, then he's not going to get the best of himself. But if you put him with somebody who still believes that there's a place for him in this league, then, yeah, he's probably going to get the best out of him that you could possibly
get. And
aren't
in the pro games, isn't there already starting to be somewhat of a pivot back to having a role for a traditional big man, where it was the school of thought just like 2 years ago, which is anybody that's over 6'10" needs to be able to move laterally. They basically need to model their game after Bam. And now you do see more of the traditional bigs. It's never going to be, unless the game drastically changes, it's never going to be like it was before in the 90s, where Zach Edey would universally be considered a lottery pick back then.
Is Brook Lopez an Edey comp? Like, if he ends up shooting threes, can you play him out there, like, if he's as mobile?
Does he have that type of shooting touch? I've never seen him shoot a jumper. Yeah.
Ever. But Brook Lopez didn't shoot at all when he first came into the league, and
outside
it took him time to evolve.
Outside of free throws, I've never seen Zach Edey in a shooting motion have both hands on the ball. Think about the
everything
highlights.
Is a jump hook.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, he's excellent at that. Brook Lopez would be great. Brook Lopez turned himself into a shooter.
A knockdown three-point shooter.
The question is going to be, what does Edey actually have in his bag outside of what we see in games, right? Because that's what helps his team win at Purdue right now and get to the Final Four. But Bam Adebayo is actually a perfect example. He played at Kentucky, and nobody knew he was capable of dribbling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he literally, I remember watching his hype tape coming out into the draft and him hitting threes, you know, and you know, going full court in some of those summer league games. And everyone was like, wait, who is this guy? I didn't know he was capable of that. So maybe Edey is capable of shooting a little further out. But right now, as a 7'4" guy in college who wants to win a championship, that's all you're seeing.
The same way somebody else look at Jalen Duren and say, oh, yeah, that's a Bam Adebayo comp. We're just making body projections. Yeah. Like, Zach Edey's body type is what we're saying. What he shows on a practice court in the NBA, we don't know. Maybe he's only doing what's necessary.
I can't find on the internet him taking a jump shot. Because he's never taken
one
a
clip. But it's labeled as a jump shot, but it's clearly just a hook.
It's a hook shot from the free throw line.
Yeah,
he makes it.
It's just always one hand on the ball.
But
in
his free
shooting
throws look
like George Mikan.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like the ball doesn't look awkward coming out of his hands in the free throws.
70% I'm seeing from the line.
What's that going to look like, Zach Edey versus DJ Burns?
Look at us talking basketball.
What is it going to look like?
Taco Fall versus that kid in high school.
Oh.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
The little round kid just looking up like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
I think DJ Burns is going to look a hell of a lot smaller than we've grown accustomed to by just matching up next with Zach Edey. But it's really hard to discuss NC State in all of this because are they who they've been for the last month? Or are they who they were entering the ACC tournament?
Or is Duke just not really good? Because I was unimpressed.
McCain is really good.
He's the only player on that team that impressed me. And even then, I see him as like a just a solid off-the-bench NBA type of player. But that happened to be their best player, their most smartest player.
Good jumper.
Good jumper. Gets to the rim on occasion. Hits free throws. Like, their best player, but not impressed with anybody else. I've been trying to see what all, you know, the hubbub was about Filipowski coming into Duke, and I still haven't seen it.
All right, you don't want to talk basketball anymore. I was trying to really ride the March Madness wave. It's a special time.
We've ridden it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel good about this.
Yeah.
I'm excited about tonight. Like, baseball's back too. This is a fun time in sports. It's sneaky. I know March with the March Madness, like, this time of year is kind of crapped on, but this couple weeks we have right here with MLB starting. Did MLB get anyone else? Because I'm a sucker for the first couple weeks of MLB. Yeah. Like, you really want to check back with me in a couple weeks to see if it really has me. But over the week, I mean, the Marlins stink. The Marlins stink.
Marlins are bad. But, I mean, Shadows, as you know, they can just be a nightmare to deal with. Why? If we bought a roof, just keep it closed the entire time. Why would we open up a roof?
I mean, Jazz complaining about it after he hit a grand slam was a little odd.
I can make an argument that he was not in the shadows yet. This is not me defending the quote.
You're
but
ready for this argument.
He was not in the shadows when he hit that grand slam. He was standing in shadows, but the ball was not going through shadows.
Sounds like you just said he was in shadows.
Well, he was standing. If you look at it, the shadows are there. He is covered by shadows, but his sight line is not covered by shadows.
That's actually
quite yet.
The trickiest.
That's
spot
the part
for a hitter, where the ball is not in the shadows, but you are, and you have that contrast. Like it's tough.
No, the tougher part is when the ball goes through shadows.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Right.
Yeah.
So the ball didn't go through shadows at all.
Oh, really?
Home shadow.
Well, then what the hell is he talking about?
He was talking about this is the problem. So the quote
he was
Jeremy
for those
has,
in his head
know.
That the shadows were creeping.
For those who
Jeremy
don't
has
know,
the yes. shadow beat covered.
For those who don't know, Jazz Chisholm Jr. There's a quote circulating that he essentially was blaming the shadows for the lack of offensive performance. He was saying that
in a high scoring game
that the Marlins ordinarily keep their roof closed. They're not used to playing with the type of shadows that come through it at Lone Depot Park. I remember last year, I think it was the Diamondbacks. I can't remember which team, could have been the Phillies, that complained that the shadows at Lone Depot Park were a literal danger to the players, mm-hmm. that's how stark they were. So what Jazz was asked about is why the Marlins struggled so much against the Pirates relievers in particular. And so what he was saying is that later in the game, as the shadows were creeping and they've got guys that are throwing 100 out of the pen, that was the issue. So what everybody pointed at was, Jazz, you hit a grand slam in this game. What are you doing complaining offensively? What I would tell you is the shadows were not affecting him yet in that at bat. And I actually think that what Jazz was trying to do there was not make an excuse for himself, who played pretty well this weekend, but kind of take some pressure off of his teammates, who all struggled so much offensively.
Ooh, good teammate.
What a stand-up guy.
Jeremy Cache, shadow correspondent.
Who makes the decision to open the roof? Like, who's the actual decision maker on that? Skip?
No, it's not Skip. Yeah. I don't think. I'm not sure what the answer is there. I think the preference is, if there's good weather, they keep the roof open.
It's a beautiful weekend.
That's the default.
That's why you have a retractable
right.
roof.
Well, they know in a couple months there's no shot because it's going to be so hot.
Exactly.
They're like, if we can get a couple in here
no, that's
early
the
in the season.
That's the premise, is if you can avoid rain, which you can still this early in the year, and you can avoid the type of heat that you're going to get in the middle of July, you're going to keep the roof open. Jazz is not wrong that they don't normally play with the shadows, but that is a really horrible excuse considering the fact that your own reliever struggled so much. It's not like the Pirates were ripping the ball. That was more about the Marlins not throwing strikes. But, I mean, you can't come out here after an 0-4 start and blame the shadows.
Is there a softer explanation in sports than
right.
the shadows are a danger to our players?
It was dumb disrespect.
I couldn't see anything.
It's just
shadows
hard to
are
hit.
Important.
100-mile-an-hour fastball, dude, you need to see clearly.
Right. Like, sun's in a different position.
100-mile-an-hour fastball is a scary thing, not the shadow.
Just like in the NBA, if there was like one light off in the somewhere, they'd be like, the NBA players would be freaking out if there was one light on the court that was off.
So Hunt, our oldest game, and we haven't figured out how to deal with the shadows.
Well, they're trying to do this thing with roofs and
what we do in the shadows.
Yeah. I the do whole dome situation.
Even though we've covered this quite well, I do want to hear Jazz for himself, because the quote in it, when you see it in black and white, it does kind of give off kind of like a sore loser vibe. But contextually, let's see what kind of tone was adjacent to this.
What's made, I guess, the Pirates bullpen so challenging this series?
That we couldn't see. That's all. I feel like the shadows was a really, we're not used to playing shadows. We normally play inside every day, you know. So when we get a shadow for three of the four games at home for the first time of the season, it's kind of hard to adjust to, you know. We're used to the roof being closed and being able to see every at bat. It's kind of tough to see when it's black out there and facing a guy throwing 101, you know.
Man, he was quick and ready with that. He was
kind of
ready.
That seems very, he's not
he
emotional.
He clearly was
there.
Just frustrated.
Like, I kind of believe him. Like, that. Honestly, listening to the clip now, I'm kind of like, all right, let's not have the shadows anymore.
You think his former captain is somewhere in LA cracking up about this?
Absolutely.
Oh, Miguel Rojas.
Yeah, that much is clear. Miggy absolutely loved that quote.
Can't wait for him to go on the road in the open air stadium.
Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates don't play here. They had to play in the same exact conditions, too. And I know that you just got swept by them, but you realize it's like it's
the same game for both teams. It is. That's
very
the part
much
that's
is the same game. I know in the earlier
It'd
part
be
of
like
the game,
if they complained about the 3-point line in the women's game. It's like you both had to deal with it.
They didn't complain nearly as much as Jazz did.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, It's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Libertard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content. And in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
I got perhaps the single most concerning IG targeted ad of my life. And
You had a lot.
I've had a lot of concerning ones. But this one takes the cake. Because it would appear that this ad that I got, it's got, the product itself has one sole purpose, and it is to smuggle cocaine into music festivals. The IG ad, I'm going to describe it as vividly as I can.
Go on, I'm listening.
So it's this dude on the sand and at a beach somewhere, and he takes out what looks like one of those new IG wallets that got me, certainly, and he takes this thing out. And he puts this this wallet in the sand, and there's all these little holes, and he smooths it out, and you can barely see any of the sand at all in this little thin aluminum case, and then pops up a straw that he just takes out and just puts in the individual holes. Doesn't put the straw in his mouth. And so it shows its durability. It shows that, look, none of this sand will fall out of this case.
That's important that sand doesn't
fall out. And also, we had to showcase that it does have this straw, and it's not for slurping up some sand. The whole purpose of this product is to smuggle cocaine in two places.
Are we Jason Whitlocking ourselves? Because I have been a victim of the ad where it's clearly a grinder. But they're doing like fresh herbs or like food or their cheese in it.
Coffee
and then
grinder.
And they roll it into a little piece of paper. And then here's how you get your cheese cigarette. And it's like, wait a second. Why am I going to smoke cheese? And so they just
Mike,
cover
couldn't
it.
Also That's yours be
stuff.
For
smoked
some,
Gouda. Some Gouda. Yeah, Gouda.
Somebody that needs to, you know, they're at a restaurant and they need to bring sugar Gouda. For some coffee.
Yeah, it could be for condiments. And I feel like I should have seen that application. But I also get targeted ads for mushrooms like crazy, like lion's mane.
Good stuff.
I've tried the turkey tail.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Like it's supposed to be like for mental clarity. It went like 2 months with it. I'm pretty sure I'm the same amount of mental clarity.
I can't tell. There are times which I do. The irony's not lost on me where I forget to take my ginkgo, and I don't really see it. I started taking ginkgo when I felt like I was experiencing COVID brain. But really, what's happening with me, and you can tell by my purchases, is I'm aging. whether it be a hat that I can wear in the pool, whether it be for mental clarity, whether it be for
a
shirt that looks better because of its stripe pattern on someone of my size than other people. Like, the dudes tugging at their shirt in the IG ads are always getting me.
Oh,
like,
dude,
look at
that's
this
me.
Shirt. Like, oh.
BLYT or whatever those shirts or something.
Oh, Built? Oh, dude, I'm a big Built. I'm wearing Built right now. I'm built by Built.
Dude, that's all me. They're just like, hey, here's a shirt that won't make you look fat.
I know.
Look at the side view.
No one's ever going to believe me with this, and it's a losing battle, and I know it's April Fool's, but I'm not joshing you. I've never done cocaine. The whole idea of cocaine scares me. So putting Same. Something in my nose and snorting it. Look, if cocaine came in a pill form, which I'm sure it has, but I've never seen it around, nor have I been offered it. Anytime I get offered cocaine, I say no thank you very quickly. I don't do cocaine. I've never done cocaine. I only like the way that cocaine smells. I've also never done mushrooms. In the conventional sense, if someone's handed me a chocolate before, I've taken it and I didn't notice anything. I've never done like, all right, guys, we're shrooming.
Is this a drug confession episode? What are we doing?
No, I'm just being honest with you. Like, I'm honest about my gummies. You know I love Miller Lite. I've been honest about where I stand on certain vices. But I'm not a shroom guy. I'm not a psychedelic guy. And the last few years where it's become a more regular part of the conversation and the people that are touting these things are precisely the types of people I don't want to take their advice on these things from.
Like shamans?
Like Dan. Or
Jake Plummer.
Or Jake Plummer, even though he seems like the most
He's
grounded.
Locked in.
But
He's
like
locked in.
Like Aaron Rodgers, like the guy has just gone totally bizarre in the public eye. And you could draw, like, there's a line of demarcation when he started being honest about his regimen. And it's not the greatest endorsement. And I don't know if it's because of the work I do on this show. I don't understand how I'm getting targeted for these ads specifically.
So you're not talking to us. You're talking to your Instagram right now. You're trying to change it up.
Yeah, I don't. It's not even, like, I don't go searching for it. I've never purchased any of these products. So I don't really necessarily understand how it's been on my algorithm. Certainly, there has to have been something in my search pattern. Maybe it's trying to constantly look up Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee clips that I'm getting targeted for these ads. I have what I've – I'm not going to stop drinking. I am a social drinker. I like drinking.
The worst of them all.
But I don't like my face getting so red after I drink. And I don't like getting fatter as I get older. Now, I've slimmed down some, but nowhere near to where I want to be. I see where I'm at that age range now where I see pictures taken from like 7 months ago, and I'm like, man, I had it cooking back then. And I think it's like a bygone era. Like, you should have seen me just 7 months ago. I'm at that place right now where I feel myself aging. I took this medication. It did wonders for me, but it also put on 50 pounds.
It feels like a therapy session. Tony, what were you on when you saw God?
Sober, baby.
Really?
Just clean. Just water. That's it.
But there are people that espouse these virtues of stopping drinking, and I've had friends in my circle. You know, someone needs to do a stand-up routine about how, like, around age 38, every friend group has at least, like, three folks that have decided they're going to stop drinking
Wait
for a little
I'm
bit.
I'm confused, Mike. What are you trying to find here?
I've been looking at drinking alternatives. Like
drinking alternatives.
Seltzer water?
I've been trying to, like,
that's the big one I'm always told.
I'm exploring my options. I know that there have been great health benefits from it. I've looked up fasting, so I don't know if that's how my algorithm. I'm just talking this out with you guys. I'm trying to see how I'm being targeted for mushrooms. I kind of understand based on my search history. The Coke wallet, I have no clue how that got in there.
That one, I think they were fishing for you.
Well, you live in Miami. You also bought the other wallet. You said they got you on
the
a
Ridge
wallet,
but
so you're in their algorithm of like, this guy likes wallets.
There's a difference.
See how far he'll go.
There's
about one wallet.
I've only bought one wallet,
big wallet
from Instagram,
guy.
And it was several years ago.
But they see you on concert pages. They see you looking up stuff.
Yeah. They're
like,
yeah.
This
you
guy
make
likes
jokes.
Party.
They hear
we
your
know this
jokes
guy likes
here.
Miller Lite.
Yeah, no, I think what you're getting at it might be it. Bought a wallet once. I'm always posting about concerts.
They're fishing.
What about the rejoin with the that's probably your phone's here.
My character that I portray on the air loves cocaine.
A lot of chuggy group chats. Like your subconscious is dealing a lot with like chuggies. And
yeah.
you know, that's not drugs, but I mean, alcohol's a drug.
Roy, have you ever been targeted for a Coke wallet?
No, not yet. Even though I'm like you, I bought a wallet as well.
As the pants get slimmer and slimmer, well, the fit, certainly not the waistline. Mm. As the fits get slimmer and slimmer, I want a wallet that's not got a bulge out there. And also, it's helped my posture by putting the wallet in different pockets.
We're actually going the opposite way now. Baggy's back, baby.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't like the baggy fit. I got to be honest. I think people look like David Byrne with these big puffy suits. I don't like NSYNC look good.
We're back to the
aughts. Yeah, but NSYNC look good when they do their comeback photo shoot, but I just can't stop looking at
what's going to happen when we get to the mid-aughts style coming back, because that was just a mishmash of a bunch of horrible styles altogether. Like, are we going to have the, like, remember the Kanye
what's
sunglasses?
A mishmash?
Is that not a word?
It's a mishmash. It's a hodgepodge. Mishmash.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Fine. All right.
What was Scotty like Barnes wearing hodgepodge the other day? Did you guys see that? Do we have any video of that? He was wearing, you were talking about a loose fit. Like, he was wearing some large pink bell bottoms, I want to say, with maybe some platforms. Scotty Barnes is,
I think,
an interesting character.
I'm not this big fashionista. Again, most of my wardrobe is now just, oh, that fat guy's tugging at that shirt, and it seems to be stretchy, and the nipples look fine in that. Let me do that.
I think my algo is all caught up on my horniness when it comes to buying clothes. There's, if you make something look kind of sexy, I feel like I would look great in that. I'm going to buy it. There's several of those. It's not just I look thin in this, but like, you know, maybe some boxers. Never really was a boxer guy, but I was like, I don't know, that guy looks good in those boxers. I feel like I'm gonna wear those. Well,
boxer briefs.
Never looks the same on me.
You see yourself in it, you're like,
I'm not gonna broadcast myself in these boxers, but you know, I've seen myself in
them. If it's funny that my IG algorithm is just like, oh, this guy wants to look thin. He doesn't necessarily want the equipment to get thin and do it himself. He just wants to appear thinner. So we're going to help my guy out over here.
Yeah.
At the start of the pandemic, I was getting all these resistance bands and all that
stuff. They did overtime work on those resistance bands.
Oh, dude.
Overtime.
I just see one in my garage. I'm like, you got me good. I worked out twice with this thing. Got me so damn good.
The bar was always so tight. Like, you couldn't go to a certain point. You're just like doing half-ass squats.
No, resistance. And also the resistance, it's very, like,
put this on
your
legs.
We're holding on for dear life on this door right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there was one time I was doing chess and I just got smacked by the band in my back. And then I needed to buy something for my IG to make the welt go away. But my IG targeted ads have specifically been like, all right, let's cut more of these corners. Yeah, we know what you're about. You don't want to put
cutting.
The work in.
I would subscribe to your IG if it was just you working out. Because I went to his house time to work him out. Oh, not like that.
No. I'm saying
my,
like,
horniness, by the
no,
way.
No, no, no. I'm saying like Mike getting out there and working on stuff, that would inspire people.
No, I'm beefy. I can throw up the plates and stuff. I go to the gym regularly.
Don't let him see
you run. But
I've
cardio
never
is not a part of this.
Like running side by side with this guy.
Important,
no cardio,
regiment, by the way.
No.
This guy comes to my house as a guest, and his idea to work out is running in the sun.
It was just a warm up. It was just a
the
little
worst.
Warm up. He
just
got a
wants
big block.
To. He wants
you know,
to run.
A big block. We had to run around.
It was a large block, and I was very, very tired. And we were doing all these lunges. I was so tired after that. I've never invited
that was
Izzy
the warm-up?
Back. Never. Back. I never want to work out with Izzy
back.
Ever again.
This is why Chris and I don't hang out as much, because when we first started hanging out, I took him to my trainer, and he said he wanted to lose weight. He's like, this is the worst.
That guy was awesome. Like, I should have stuck with it, because it was good stuff. It's just hard, man.
I am not actually interested in getting in good shape. I just want to appear like I'm in
That's
good
right.
shape.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. You're here.
The difference between you and me, Izzy, when buying clothes based off of targeted ads on IG is you see clothes on someone and you're like, that makes him look sexy. And your decision is, I will look equally sexy. Right. Let me buy that. If I see something where I'm like, oh, that looks really good on that guy, my immediate response to that is, well, I won't look that good. I know I won't look that good.
There is nothing more depressing than when you got on IG and it comes in and you put it in and it's just barely
awful.
Hanging over your belly button. And you realize from an IG sizing standpoint, I'm essentially a quadruple XL.
I'm going to take a picture of this outfit that I have. I've talked about it before. It's just Instagram got me once. It's like this like matching pants and button down. It's flat floral, and it's just something I could never wear. But I tried to buy it, and I've never worn it.
Can we make a bet where you can wear it on the air one day?
Oh, man.
Please.
It's so embarrassing. It's probably snug at this point.
I guarantee you probably rock that thing.
Tomorrow on the Le Batard Show, we're all going to wear our worst IG purchases.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don Lebatard.
You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you, and that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you are, you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better. Both of us.
Stugatz.
Things just got a little awkward there. So let me be the first on this show to congratulate you on the new wife, Vince. Congratulations on feeling whole, feeling complete, you know? Let's talk tailgating. Yeah.
Don't feel awkward, buddy. You know,
Dan, no, I do. Don't.
No, it's
I mean,
too
Dan
late
does.
For that. It's
I
much
mean,
too
Dan,
late for that,
sit
Vince.
With them
I appreciate you soothing me in this regard, but I already feel terribly awkward. And then my teammate comes to my defense with not a question, but just a healthy congratulations and the further pointing out of that awkwardness, because he's always good for me in those spots. I'm also thinking of divorce, Vince, after many, many years, 18 years, with a partner who does things like that to you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We obsessed over women's basketball. We obsessed over the big meaty men matchup in the Final Four, DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. And here we are, and UConn is very well positioned to repeat as champs. And they haven't really been tested. And Donovan Klingon is joining us now. Donovan, number one, holy hell, you guys are dominant, and you're a big part of that. And number two, how do you maintain this dominance? I know you guys have had a really impressive season, but over the last two tournaments, you guys haven't come out flat once. You haven't really been tested. And the whole nature of this tournament, with just one game sample after one game sample, is inevitably you guys are going to come out flat, or you have to find the motivation to win a grinder. And it hasn't happened yet. How have you guys been so sharp now going for two straight tournaments?
You know, Coach Hurley really instills a lot of intensity and fire into us and makes us, you know, stay hungry. You know, he's a competitor. He wants to win so bad, and, you know, he reflects that on us, and, you know, everyone in this locker room just really wants to go out there and win. You know, like, we come into practice today, we'll go practice tomorrow, this whole week, really, you know, practicing like we have a 1A thing, and, like, there's, you know, there's still a lot on the table, which there is. And, you know, everyone realizes, you know, what we're really trying to achieve. And you really can't take your foot off the gas for a single second. You know, you're going to get every team's best shot. You know, so you're really just staying hungry, really trying to compete for the highest of accomplishments, and, you know, really just staying hungry in practice and sticking together.
Donovan, you already won a championship, so you have these moments, you have these memories or what have you. But that 30-0 run the other night, like, within it seemed like you guys were having the most fun I've ever seen a college basketball team have. Can you sort of describe what that run was like and just kind of where it fits into your memories of college so far?
Yeah. You know, I actually had no clue what run we were on. You know, I knew that going into the half, we were up 5. You know, we were playing great defense. Shots weren't falling on the offensive end. And, you know, at halftime, we talked about, you know, sticking to our defensive scripts. You know, just keep doing what we're doing. The shots will fall. And then, you know, in that second half, really just coming off with the defensive intensity, you know, I had that big block in the second half, which led to the dunk on the other end. And I feel like after that, really just the energy within the team just changed. And everyone really was just trying to, you know, just one possession at a time, break the other team, and you know, come out with the win. You know, but that's just one thing about this team, is everyone's so unselfish. Everyone, you know, whatever it takes to win, you know, whether that's 0 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, you know, every single person on this team don't care about their stats. They just care, you know, care about winning. And, you know, that's why this team's so special.
Your team is certainly special, and you articulated how Dan Hurley motivates you guys, but it is easier to tune out the noise and all that and have this tunnel vision and have success when you're actually not part of the national conversation, which is wild to me. All that you guys are poised to repeat, and yet the intention, and great players in their own right, the attention may be going to other teams. Are you guys bothered by that, or it's just that's UConn basketball and it helps us maintain this program? That's how we like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like that keeps us hungry. You know, people are going against us, people are rooting against us, and you know, they want to see someone else win. And you know, we hear that, we see that, and that just, you know, gives us a little more fire, a little more, you know, energy just to go out there and, you know, prove people wrong. And you know, I feel like we've done that all year. You know, we had a target on our back, you know, coming off as defending national champions, you know, the whole season, that we got every team's best shot. And you know, people still didn't rank us, you know, where we felt we should have been ranked. And you know, so we just really just stay hungry, and really just try to, you know, make people quiet.
What do you think about Kling Kong?
I love it.
Do you like that nickname?
Yeah, I love it.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue. Other nicknames in your career, and this one's just as easily the best one because you've just had bad ones?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this one really like took off like just after last year. You know, people just called me, you know, like DC and stuff around the locker room. Really haven't had it, like any, you know, big nicknames or anything, but you know, Kling Kong is just turned into something big.
Now you're a giant, and with that, and you don't have the pro travel accommodations. UConn treats their players very well, but you know, you're still taking some commercial flights that are blocked off, and you're having to squeeze into tight situations. Can you explain the day in, day out grind of having to be this college basketball player that is traveling from city to city in a world that isn't necessarily made for to consider 7'2" people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last two trips have been not the most fun. The bus ride to New York, the bus ride to Boston, you know, the buses are definitely not the best for me in my size. It's definitely more of a tight squeeze. Can't get comfortable, you know, with those 3-4 hour rides.
What's the go-to? How do you sit? Like, how do you get comfortable?
I try to, you know, lay across the row and put my legs across the aisle into someone else's seat, but then that's, you know, that's bothering someone else. So, you know, really just constantly moving and never finding that comfortable spot. But planes are much easier. You know, we're very blessed enough to have, you know, charter flights to, you know, have the first class seats and the extra leg room, which is nice. So that 5-hour flight to Phoenix shouldn't be too bad.
All right. That's good. I am a little worried about the buses, but it's a college basketball team. There's a bunch of people that feel uncomfortable, but not quite a lot of 7'2" people. So what about in everyday life, not just travel? What is we all have seen throughout this run of yours that there are a lot of benefits to being 7'2", but what is something that we take for granted as someone that is not 7'2" that is annoying to you in everyday life?
You know, clothes. You know, I try to find stuff that fits me, and you know, you're searching for hours. You know, I got long legs and, you know, a smaller torso, so you know, it's hard to find the pants in my length. You know, I feel like I hit my head 20 times a day, and you know, but that at the same time keeps me from getting concussions because I feel like I've hit my head so much that, you know, I got to hit really hard to, you know, knock me out. But you know, there's a lot of people around campus, a lot of people around stores stopping me for pictures and stuff. You know, I like that. I appreciate the support, the love. You know, there's a lot of benefits for being 7'2" on the basketball court, and there's a lot of drawbacks, you know, off the court.
Who do you get? Because, like, now you're getting a little famous with this run and stuff, but, like, I imagine, do you ever get, like, you're somebody, but who are you type stuff?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, like, really when we travel more than, you know, then when we're in Connecticut, you know, I grew up in Connecticut. So, you know, I feel like I have a pretty big fan base in the state of Connecticut. But, you know, when you travel out of state, you know, I'm sure people in Phoenix that don't really know what's going on out there will be like, oh, it looks like you're...
Yeah, it's Mike Muscala over there.
Yeah, he looks like you're a basketball player. You know, what team do you play for? You know, it's like stuff like that sometimes, yeah, that I'll get.
That's got to be annoying. Like, you must play basketball. Yeah, I must, and I'm so quite good at it. You're just stopping me because I'm a giant. That's all you're doing right there. You just have to talk to me because I have... Surely at this size, I must be somebody.
Yeah. That's I get that all the time.
What is the best thing about being outside of basketball? What is the best, the biggest advantage of being as tall as you are?
Oof. I can reach a lot of things. I mean, you know, sometimes I like just seeing what's going on and, you know, over crowds
just
and
like
stuff.
Hovering above the crowd.
Does it stink to go to a concert because you're worried about the person behind you and you're like, I get this all the time? Just
or is it awesome?
Let me know if I'm in your way. Is it awesome to be going to a concert or is it a little annoying?
A little bit of both. You know, people stop you and try to get pictures and stuff. You know, but at the same time, you know, you don't get, no one's in your way and you get to see everything. You don't miss a thing.
But you're at like a movie theater and I'm just like, there's a poor kid sitting behind you. And it's just like, yeah, sorry, buddy.
Donovan, we mentioned those, you know, the Final Four, the big meaty men in this Final Four. We talked about a little bit about how there isn't quite the place in the NBA for some of these big guys. I wonder what the big guys like yourself talk about. What does it take for you guys to feel like, hey, I'm going to succeed in the NBA today as a big man? What kind of big man has to succeed at that level?
Yeah, you know, really just being as elite as possible in the, you know, the pick and roll game, you know, defending the rim at a high level. You know, now with how the game has changed, being able to step out behind the 3-point line and knock down a three here and there, you know, rebounding the ball, defense, you know, just really moving your feet. And, you know, because now you're switching on to guards and, you know, guards are speedy, fast, you know, so really just trying to move your feet. And, you know, one thing I really thought about, you know, to myself is, you know, my team needs me for a certain, you know, needs me to play a certain way to be successful. And, you know, whenever my time comes to move on to the next level, you know, you work and try to expand your, you know, your game into many other ways. And, you know, you work your game towards how the team needs you. You know what I mean? And just right now, you know, I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help my team win and, you know, whatever way that is. And, you know, so, you know, however your team needs you to play to win, you know, that's what I'm willing to do.
DC, I spent a little time in Connecticut. In West Hartford, are you an elbow room guy or a bar taco guy?
Ooh, bar taco.
Attaboy.
I love the question.
No, he knows. DC, the deal is he's been out there at the bar taco. Come on, he knows.
Yeah, attaboy.
DC, we were talking earlier before you got here about how we've got on IG ads, and I imagine your IG ads are all targeted because you're very tall, and it's not the easiest thing getting close, as you mentioned. Have you got by IG? Have you ordered something, and it came in the mail, and you're like, there's just no goddamn way I can fit in this thing?
I feel like definitely sometimes, you know, some brands run a little bit smaller and, you know, I'm like, oh, this thing's, you know, this is nice sweatshirt. And then, you know, I'll order it and I get it and I'm like, I don't even know if this fit my sister. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
Someone needs to do something about this. IG's getting away with this stuff. I maybe have a 40% success rate on clothes that I buy off of IG.
I've got Donovan trying on a romper and being like, this is not anything what I thought it would be.
Yeah, then there's those. Like, maybe you've had, maybe you're out and maybe your confidence level is different on a certain night. And you're like, when did I ever think that I could pull this off? Like a tie-dye pair of sunglasses? Who am I? I'm not Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm 39 years old, and this is not something that you run into. But why? I have a wife that loves me. Who am I doing this for? Have you ever asked yourself, who am I doing this for?
Nah, I mean, are you talking about the fashion?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's also you play in a sport where fashion is just so paramount and people try to establish their brands. And so maybe you do something a little outside of your comfort zone because you're trying to, you know, establish the DC brand. And then you realize, like, why did I do this? This came in the mail. It barely fits me.
Yeah, I'm pretty basic, man. Sweatshirt and sweatpants, that's the way to go for me.
Donovan, that look on your face is confusion. It's because Mike does these things. He has therapy with the guests. He talks his way through these things. This is for Mike's benefit.
I'm certainly not in the middle of a midlife crisis because it's been happening for a while. And maybe it's happening a little too early. John Mayer famously called it a quarter life crisis. Maybe I'm having multiple ones of that, but you'll see. Let me just say, you will see. And the IG ads are only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Are you a Frank Pepes guy, DC?
What is
that? I've had it once. It's been a while.
What's your New Haven slice of choice?
I'm cheese. I mean,
he is a basic guy. He just told you. He's...
No. The place.
Place?
Sally's?
I like Sally's.
Okay. All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. It seems as though you're going to be doing all right for yourself here in a couple of years, and you could just like maybe buy entire clothing departments as opposed to just getting targeted IG ads. I'm very happy for your success, even though I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. And in retrospect, that's a team that's challenged somehow, even though you blew them out, is the team that's challenged you the most in the NCAA tournament. I hope for your sake it continues to be a flat track. And I gotta say, the bracket lays out pretty nicely. If you guys beat Alabama, do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be going up against a big man that you can flash your skill set and set yourself apart from. And I'm sure, just by the looks of you, you're kind of eager to get that spotlight and have people talk about you and what Coach Hurley is doing over there. Thank you so much for your time and continued success, sir.
Thank you, Clint Kong.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, man.